Yeah. Ruth. Ruth chapter 3. We're up to the night of Ruth. So as Philip's been talking about, we've been on a journey through Ruth, and we're trying our best to let the story be the story and speak to us as a story in this way, by dwelling in it and letting it be revelation. So just to remember that the story of Ruth is located with a brooding sense of danger. It's in the background that we find the book of Judges, and there's an atmosphere. There's a sense of danger and violence. So the darkness of Judges and Ruth, the darkness of Judges and Moab loom over our story. So just to recap, we've started with a wilderness. Famine and tragedy have struck, and Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth find themselves alone in Moab, a country that we imagine is far from Naomi's heart. And they share a close bond, Naomi with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah returns to her people, but Ruth clings to Naomi. And together, Naomi and Ruth return to Judah. And as we dwell in that aspect, we get the sense and the feel of dislocation, sense of desolation of these lean times, and particularly of Naomi, who was cut off with no descendants in sight. Naomi is seemingly cut off from her past and from her future. And so much is she cast adrift that she no longer wants to be called pleasant. She wants to be known by the name bitter. And as we know, names are important in the Bible. And who is who will be our focus today, our major theme. Mark closed last week at chapter 2 with Ruth taking the initiative and gleaning in the field of Boaz. And later, Boaz and Ruth share bread and wine together. Dip your morsel of bread in the sour wine. Boaz responds with kindness to the goodness of Ruth. But some time has passed as we come to chapter 3. So with the help of a little atmospherics and a slide that's rather huge and complicated, I'm going to start chapter 3. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may go well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young woman you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make it known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." So she said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Then she came quietly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman! Exclamation mark in my text. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you a next of kin. He said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You've not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. For all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do so. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another. For he said, it must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And then he said, bring the cloak you're wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back, and then he went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, how did things go with you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. And she, Naomi, replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. Ruth chapter 3. So we find ourselves in the depth of night. We're now entering a liminal space, a place of mystery and ambiguity. Judas will betray Jesus with a kiss at night. At night, we become indefinite shapes, and questions of identity hover. The story is reaching a climax of risk and danger. Is the outcome going to be sordid or sublime? Will it be betrayal or faithfulness? Who are you? A startled Boaz asks. Who are you? And that's the question also for us today. See, there's no particular or defined enemies in the story of Ruth, but there are dangers. Already danger has been hinted at. In the fields, Boaz has warned Ruth to stay close. The dangers in the story of Ruth are more hidden and understated, a bit like the dreamlike sequence, sense of danger we find in the Song of Songs. Making their rounds in the city, the sentinels found me. They beat me, they wounded me. They took away my mantle, those sentinels of the walls. Song of Songs. Rumours of violence echo similarly in our story of Ruth, as they do in our society today. But the real danger is contained in that question a startled Boaz asks. Who are you? As God puts to Adam in the garden, where are you? In that space of darkness and opportunity, who are we? It's ourselves that we question. Our own identity. Because Ruth is a Moabite, and Ruth is a widow. Naomi is a widow. They're poor and desperate. Boaz is an older man without offspring. Paul is a devout Jew and a Roman citizen, and we too are ordinary people. Yet these identities don't define them, Ruth, Naomi, Boaz. These identities don't limit them or contain them in the sense of who they really are. For we find Ruth and Naomi to be women of action. They take initiative. It's Boaz who's sleeping. They allow room for the unexpected blessing of God. I am Ruth, your servant. I am the one lying at your feet, taking the risk that you will act with nobility and virtue and not with violence. or advantage. And Boaz. Boaz could hide behind form. He isn't actually the closest redeemer. He isn't legally obliged. And in all likelihood, he probably thinks he's too old to get married. And yet he responds and spreads his cloak over Ruth. Paul responds to the call of Jesus and offers himself a living sacrifice. And by contrast, Judas found himself in liminal space, in the space where identity could go either way. And he finds himself acting in betrayal. Cain is warned in his dark space when he's in the grip of anger. Do not let your anger lead to sin, to violence, and murder. And the book of Judges ends in showing us just how dark man can be. But thankfully and mercifully, we're in a peaceful story in the book of Ruth, a story of mutual care and blessing. And it's certainly a relief to find that we are. A story of restoration and rescue from lean times, from difficult circumstances. So, who do we cling to? What initiatives can we take? And I hope as we read together through the story of Ruth, that you're getting the feeling, as I am, that there's a convergence in the characters of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, a growing unity, a small fellowship of three is developing, of goodness and mutual care. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz are finding their identities in their care of each other, as we do. They're a community, and they became known to us as they enhance each other. Kindness responds to goodness. They are a little microcosm of the great cloud of witnesses that we find ourselves inhabiting. So here we are in the tension of a late night encounter between a man and a woman. And this still grips us modern readers with imagination. Because we're not simply in a moral story or a simple history story or even an overtly prophetic story. But are we in a romantic story? I promised Alan I would get to romance, and here we are. So, because he mentioned it. So I want you to hold that thought for a moment, because we are going to go off track and out into the left field a little bit. But before we do, I want to just take a simple survey. Hands up if you think the story of Ruth is a romantic story. Okay, all right, very good. Hands up if you don't think the story of Ruth is a romantic story. All right, which is a testament to the author, isn't it? Because we are still not in agreement. There's enough mystery and ambiguity there. Can I ask a question? You may ask a question, Rick, yes.
You don't need to answer.
Well, that is good. Okay, well, I'm gonna get to that, I hope. So how do I define it? Well, it's Friday night. It's a romantic time. And I sit down to relax after dinner with a drink, put on my favourite Spotify playlist, turn up the volume, and who should leap out of the speakers but Billie Eilish singing All Good Girls Go to Hell. Okay, I do have an eclectic playlist. So for those of you over 50 who don't know who Billie Eilish is, that's her up on the top left. And she's rather famous. She's a pop star whose appeal lies largely, I think, in her lyrical content. And she's one of many, she's one of a new breed of musicians, Ed Sheeran, etc., who seem to be able to put a lot of words into their songs, but also tap into the vein of culture and manage to express this in her music. So much so that many thousands of teenage girls can recite all her lyrics. She genuinely hits a nerve, I think. And from this particular song, "Man is such a fool, why are we saving him? Poisoning themselves now, begging for our help." Wow, that's in the song. So Billie Eilish I think, a little bit in common with the story of Ruth, also writes against a background of violence and betrayal of men taking advantage of women, mostly girls. It's part of our culture. And I think her message, in essence, is girls, wake up, don't be fooled, borrow from your dark side to protect yourselves. Now, her lyrics, admittedly, are probably more complex and nuanced than I'm giving there, but I think that's the general feel. And the general feel I would describe of Billie Eilish songs is very much what I might call anti-romance, or at least the dying of romance. So by way of contrast, what do I think's romantic? On the same eclectic playlist is two, I think, of the most romantic lines ever written from the song, Moon River. Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. And bottom right, anybody want to hazard a guess? Fall into my little trap? No? Okay, so it's not Henry Mancini who did write the music. That's Johnny Mercer, who actually wrote a lot of famous songs. So romance and anti-romance, where might Ruth find herself and what might Ruth have to say to the cultural vein of Billie Eilish? So I'll let you think about that one. But I do have some thoughts. And I think importantly that the qualities of hesed, that Hebrew word we're looking at in the book of Ruth, goodness, kindness, loyalty, fidelity, faithfulness, I think those qualities are gender-free. And marriage is just one among many fields that give opportunity to express these things, these divine qualities. Ruth, of course, does not become worthy because she marries. She's a worthy woman who offers herself in marriage. Boaz already recognizes who she is. She is pro-feminist, but without being anti-men and without dipping into her dark side. Who are you, Boaz asks, and is rewarded with his answer. So if the story of Ruth grips us in an enduring way, I think it's because it transcends its place and declares a home and an identity. And I think it steers between romance and anti-romance with a sort of deft mystery. The story of Ruth itself is beguiling and probably always will be. So how do we see ourselves? Because Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz can give us pause for thought about our multiple belongings. In their vital fellowship, they remind us of who we cling to. Where do we find ourselves in our relationships? And we're reminded always to look for who and where Jesus says we are. You think you're rich, but you're poor. You think you're poor, but you're rich. Who does Jesus say we are? How do we find ourselves? Because I think Ruth shows us a lived hope, a goodness in action. Her example and her initiative remind us that we can't hold on to the single talent we have. Like Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi, we are just ordinary people. Ordinary people at the mercy of circumstances, but with an unexpected and extraordinary God, and a God in Christ full of grace. So I'd like to close chapter 3 today with Ruth's pledge of loyalty to Naomi, and more deeply, pledge of loyalty to our God. And this is what we found in chapter 1, while still in the land of Moab. Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this little story coming across many years to us, and for your presence in it, for your example of goodness and grace and kindness responding to kindness. And Lord, as we look at the world around us, as we see violence and hear rumours of violence and know that ours is a very fallen world, we pray to find our identity in you. Lord, help us to cling to you for our love, our dependence, and help us to be agents of your grace and your mercy. Lord, go with us in our week ahead and be with those we know who are hurting, who are sick, who need you to be unexpected in grace in their life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart. I won't read your notes. On the subject of steadfast love and building community, I'd like to invite Judy to just give a quick notice before we wrap up.
Thanks, Philip. It's been a great morning this morning. Thanks for joining in with the breakfast, those of you who could make it, by the way. Just wanting to remind the ladies amongst us, sorry men, we've got an event that a group of us have organised for this coming Thursday, 7:30 p.m. at my place. We're going to have a time of reflecting on God, a time of doing craft, and a time of getting to know one another better. So we love your company. If you could let me know, that would be helpful. I haven't got anything up there to tell you how to do that, but see me afterwards. It's also been in the notices and whatnot. Yep. Oh, that's right. I forgot the important bit. And very delicious food and over a cuppa will be part of the night as well. So if you can just let me know. But if you haven't let me know, please don't let that stop you from coming on Thursday evening. And we'd really love your company. It'll be a good time together. Thanks.
Some things, Judy. And if any of the guys want to do something, perhaps not craft, well, maybe we should get ourselves organised. Yeah, Judy thinks we should as well. So we need probably a men's, an organised male, which is probably what we're struggling with. Would that be fair, guys? Yeah. A bacon and eggs breakfast. Jenny's offering to put on a bacon and eggs breakfast. Thank you. This is wonderful. Steadfast love. This is what it looks like. My heart is softened by that offer. Yeah. Can you see me? Are your eyes good now? Yeah, they're good, eh? All right. Let me bless you. We're not having morning tea this morning because we've had breakfast, so I'm sorry if you came hoping for morning tea. I know at least one person who's going to miss out on his coffee and has already lambasted me for that. But that doesn't mean you don't have to rush off. You can spend about 5 minutes hanging out. No, yeah. Let me bless you and release you and stay to hang around. Mai ho koe manaki, mana koe tiaki. Mai ho e mea kia tia ho tona mata kia koe, mana hoki koe atafai. Mai ho atona ka nohi e whakara ki a koe. Mana anō e tukutaranga marie ki a koe. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Amen. Thank you for coming. Wouldn't have been the same without you. If you would like prayer, then the prayer spot is open and ready for business. Yes, Derek? Oh, then there's a person.